ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to The Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
As we continue looking at what the Bible has to say and what's happening in this world, I'm going to focus on something that I think is really interesting. It is to me, and it's kind of mind-blowing. It's kind of, I guess, interesting and scary when you look at it, and that's artificial intelligence. And the reason I believe this is so important to us is it talks about the image of the beast. And I think Revelation chapter 13 plays a huge role in all of this. We see the emergence of the Antichrist, the false prophet, and then this image of the beast. And I think they're all tied together. Remember that the false prophet, the head of the one world religion, gets the people to put the Antichrist into power in this one world government. And listen to what we're told in Revelation 13, verses 15 through 17. He, the false prophet, was granted power to give breath to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast to be killed. He causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand or on their foreheads, and that no one may buy or sell except one who has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. The Living Bible puts this verse like this: and the false prophet is permitted also to impart the breath of life into the beast image, so that the statue of the beast could actually talk and cause to be put to death those who would not bow down and worship the image of the beast. Also, he compels all alike, both small and great, both rich and poor, both free and slave, to be marked with an inscription stamped on their right hand or on their foreheads, so that no one will have power to buy or sell unless he bears the stamp, mark, inscription, that is the name of the beast or the number of his name. Now, to me, that reminds me of, you know, Daniel chapter 13, where King Nebuchadnezzar sets up this golden image to be worshipped. Obviously, this is in defiance of what God had given him in a dream in Daniel chapter 2, which was a multi-metallic image. His kingdom representing the head of gold. He made the entire statue gold because he thought his kingdom would last forever. Obviously, that wasn't true. But the difference between what's found in Daniel chapter 3 and what we've read here in Revelation 13 is the image here in Revelation, the Antichrist, or the false prophet, I should say, gives life to this image. You know, in Daniel's day and even in John's day when he wrote Revelation, this was impossible, but it's not today. I grew up with, you know, science fiction, and when you look at what was going on with science fiction, it's happening today. It's becoming a reality with artificial intelligence and all that's going on with that. I'll give you some examples to show you how far we've come with AI. In one article, we're told the term artificial intelligence was only just coined about 60 years ago, but today we have no shortage of experts pondering the future of AI. Chief amongst the topics considered is the technological singularity, a moment when machines reach a level of intelligence that exceeds that of humans. While currently confined to science fiction, the singularity no longer seems beyond the realm of possibility. From larger tech companies like Google and IBM to dozens of smaller startups, some of the smartest people in the world are dedicated to advancing the fields of AI and robotics. Now we have human-looking robots that can hold a conversation, read emotions, or at least try to, and engage in one type of work or another. Top among the leading experts, confident that the singularity is a near future inevitability, is Ray Kurzweil, Google's director of engineering. The highly regarded futurist and future teller predicts we'll reach it sometime before 2045. Listen to what he has to say. I'm not sure if we're going to listen to the whole thing, but listen to what he has to say here. It's kind of interesting.
Well, By 2020, we'll have computers that are powerful enough to simulate the human brain, but we won't be finished yet with reverse engineering the human brain and understanding its methods. One of my main themes, and I've developed this thesis over 30 years, is that information technology grows exponentially. The power of computers, our understanding of the human brain, the spatial resolution of brain scanning, the number of bits we move around the internet, I mean, many different measures of information technology double every 1 year, every 11 months, 13 months, depending on what you're measuring. So these technologies will be a million times more powerful within 20 years. In fact, the speed of exponential growth is itself speeding up. So in 25 years, these technologies will be a billion times more powerful than they are today. And we've already seen that kind of progress. When I was an undergraduate, we all shared a computer at MIT that took up half a building. The computer on your cell phone today is a million times cheaper and 1,000 times more powerful. That's a billion-fold increase in price performance of computing since I was an undergraduate. By 2029, and I've been quite consistent on this date, we will have completed the reverse engineering of the human brain. And we've already made very good progress on that. We've reverse engineered a number of different regions, like the cerebellum, which is responsible for our skill formation, and slices of the cerebral cortex where we do our recursive thinking, and the auditory cortex, the visual cortex, and so on. By 2029, we'll have reverse engineered and modeled and simulated all the regions of the brain, and that will provide us the software, algorithmic methods to simulate, you know, all of the human brain's capabilities, including our emotional intelligence. And computers at that time will be far more powerful than the human brain. And we'll be able to create machines that really do have the subtlety and suppleness of human intelligence. And they'll combine that power with ways in which machines are already superior to us. They can harness all of human knowledge with a few keystrokes. It can remember billions of things accurately. They can share knowledge at electronic speeds that are a million times faster than human language. So it'll be a very powerful combination. But the last point I'll make is that it's not some alien invasion of intelligent machines coming from Mars to invade us. It's coming from within our civilization. And the whole point of it is to extend our reach. Ever since we picked up a stick to reach a higher branch, we've used our tools to extend our reach. We can now already extend our reach mentally. I can take out a device from my pocket and access all of human knowledge with a few keystrokes. Half the farmers in China have these devices and can do the same thing. It is spawning a real cultural revolution in China and around the world, and these tools are continuing to grow exponentially in power. The singularity is not just that point where we achieve human level of intelligence in the machine. I mean, that will start a new revolution where these machines will continue to grow exponentially in power. They'll be able to actually improve their own software design. By 2045, we'll have expanded the intelligence of our human-machine civilization a billion-fold. That will be a singularity. And we borrowed this metaphor from physics to talk about an event horizon that's hard to see beyond.
It's amazing how fast we're moving. I mean, again, the technology of our phones are so advanced. I mean, when they landed, the Apollo astronauts landed on the moon, do you realize the technology we have in our phones is much better than what they had landing on the moon? I mean, it blows you away at what we have today and how it's growing. And they want to integrate a human brain into a machine. Why? So you could live forever. Science has been working on merging the human consciousness with a machine or computer. Again, the singularity also speaks to that. And we're getting really close. You know, we can also call this transhumanism. But I don't know if you remember the old television series, and again, I'm dating myself, but remember the $6 million man? You know? Stop laughing, okay? I really liked that show. It was pretty cool back then. Now it's kind of hokey, but, you know, they put artificial parts in them so he could run faster and do all those things that he did. Also, RoboCop, not only just body parts, but altering his brain so they had control of his brain. I don't know how many of you watched Star Trek Next Generation, but the Borg, that's what they did. They were combined all these different parts onto humans or other aliens, and also were controlling their brain. And that's what they're working towards. People want to live forever. To me, I want to be with Jesus because I'll live forever with him and my body won't hurt and I don't have to worry about being in a machine. And, you know, I don't know about you, but my computers break down and sometimes the hard drive dies. I don't know what happens if you're downloaded into a machine. If that happens, I guess you're done. I think this is part of the technology for this image of the beast. And, you know, we're told that the false prophet gives life to this beast, which, again, is very interesting. There's an article from 2018, No Death and Enhanced Life is the Future Transhumanism. And they say the aims of transhumanist movement are summed up by Mark O'Connell in his book To Be a Machine, which last week won the Wellcome Book Prize. He said it is their belief that we can and should eradicate aging as a cause of death, that we can and should use technology to augment our bodies and our minds, that we can and should merge with machines, remaking ourselves, finally in the image of our own higher ideals. Wow. You know, again, this is what they're working towards. Not enhancing these bodies, but putting our brains in to robotics, to artificial intelligence, merging man and machine. Can anything go wrong with that? I mean, gosh, oh my gosh, I don't even want to think about it. But things can go terribly wrong. I don't want to creep you out here, but I will, because I'm up here and you're down there. But let's look at this. Scientists have invented the first ever living robots. The robotic devices are made from the embryonic skin and heart cells of frogs. They're known as xenobots, getting their name from the African clawed frog, Xenopus laevis, whose stem cells are used to make the robots. Xenobots developed by scientists from Tufts University and the University of Vermont are the first ever robots to be created entirely from living material. The machines are tiny creatures less than a millimeter wide and can walk and swim, survive for weeks without food, and work together in groups. They, however, can evolve or recreate. What's unique about these creatures is that they can heal by themselves when wounded. Wow, that's pretty freaky. I don't know about you. The robots don't look anything like traditional robots. They don't have robotic arms or shiny gears. However, they can achieve some things that the traditional robots can't. For example, these robots have self-healing capability, something that traditional robots lack. According to a study conducted by researchers, the xenobots could potentially be used toward a host of attacks. Both because of their miniature sizes, they could be used to transport medicine into the human body or instructed to scrape out plaque from human arteries. Again, it's kind of creepy. I don't know how many of you remember the second Terminator movie, Liquid Metal. You know, they shoot them, opens up, but then everything comes back together. If he gets blown apart, all the little metal parts kind of melt and he comes back to life. That's kind of the idea here. I'll kind of show you some of the advances that have been made with AI. Just watch this video. It's kind of interesting to me, the different technologies.
The newest robots, inventions and technologies of the future, and which is worth keeping an eye on in 2021. Get ready for the most interesting things from the world of high tech in today's One Issue. The first discoveries of this year are Samsung's home robots. The smart and dexterous bot Handy can determine what material an object is made of in order to calculate the force required to maneuver it. The robot can pick up laundry, load the dishwasher, set your table, pour wine, and even bring your drinks. Cameras on the robot's head and limbs are responsible for object recognition. For maneuvering and manipulation, only the robotic arm, which can rotate at three points, specifically in the shoulder, elbow, and wrist. The arm ends with a universal grip that works with objects of different sizes and shapes. The robot can move around the room on a platform, turn from side to side, and rise to reach higher objects. And for everyday cleaning, Samsung introduced the JetBot 90 AI Plus robot. It's a vacuum cleaner that uses LiDAR and 3D sensors to clean close to furniture and children's toys. The JetBot's internal camera can be used to monitor pets as well. A recent reality has been a Moli Robotics futuristic robot kitchen project. not as futuristic as the concept, the robotic kitchen is already quite functional. The system is sold together with furniture and utensils as everything is adapted for optimal robotics work based on proven industrial manipulators. The specially designed gripper can not only use spatulas and ladles, but also, for example, crack eggs, use a blender, or turn on the water. The robot takes ingredients from human-prepared containers. But beyond that, the entire cooking process is fully automated. The robot was trained with the help of a camera recording the cooking process and its verbal description, breaking down the recipe into simple steps such as stir, flip, salt, makes it fairly easy to teach the robot new dishes. The Toyota Research Institute showed its version of home robots not so long ago. The company's engineers are trying to solve two problems: teaching robots to perform everyday tasks around the house, and to overcome the limitations imposed by the unpredictable environment of each individual home. The latter task is partly solved by Toyota's new robot hanging from the ceiling, but it's also unlikely to be implemented in the existing modest-sized Japanese dwellings. Rather, these are developments for future homes and apartments. Toyota is not saying much about the technology behind this robot, but it recently showed off its new lab, which was created to test this very robot. The Chinese Institute of Industrial Technology introduced this year the Dual Arm Robot System, a robotic system with two arms, the total number of joints at 29. This dexterous robot with 5 fingers and 7 degrees of freedom can easily manipulate objects of different shapes and sizes. And they're made of composite material, which makes the robot lightweight yet durable. This year, Agility Robotics has seriously upgraded its humanoid robot courier Digit, making it completely self-sufficient. All you need to do now is tell the robot the route or the endpoint, and it will go where it needs to go, bypassing obstacles along the way. Digit is the world's first commercially available humanoid robot with 2 legs. Currently, the price is unknown, but it's rumored to have 6 figures. The robot can lift weights up to 18 kilograms, gently by bypassing people and interacting with other robots. Digit's main customer today is Ford. The company plans to use the robot for deliveries in conjunction with its unmanned car. The robot uses LiDAR and multiple cameras mounted on its torso to scan its surroundings and quickly detect obstacles. Now, from humanoid robots, let's move on to our four-legged friend robots. A new and rather unusual robot dog was introduced this year by Tencent. The robot dog Max uses the original leg and wheel connection scheme from Tencent Robotics X Lab, which allows him to both walk on 4 legs and ride on wheels at 25 kilometers per hour. Tencent's software and hardware platform allows the robot to reach its surroundings and control its own balance, as well as plan actions with calculation delays of only 0.3 milliseconds. This robot can also stand up after falling down. Another novelty found was Chinese copy of the Boston Dynamics robot dog. The Weilane company introduced Alpha Dog Robot, which is able to move at speeds of up to 1 km per hour, move with 10 different gaits, and carry a load of up to 5 kilograms. The robot is also able to move autonomously, avoiding obstacles, maintaining balance, and getting up after a fall, and, according to the manufacturer, perform a number of other tasks using artificial intelligence. For example, serving as a guide for the blind, guarding homes, or patrolling a park. It's already sold 2,000 units at a price of just under $2,500. Boston Dynamics itself this year also introduced a couple of new products, specifically a brand new robot for warehouses named Stretch, and an updated version of the robot Spot with an incredibly nimble and smart robotic arm. We talked more about them in an issue about the company's robots, which you can find the link in the video description. An unusual four-legged novelty of the year was Hyundai's Tiger X1 robotic courier for hard-to-reach and remote locations. The robot is dropped off in the night area by drone and then rides on wheels and rises on its feet to step over obstacles if necessary. The top of the robot can easily be replaced with a refrigerator or regular box. The robot has only a prototype so far, but it seems that Hyundai is serious about this technology development and plans to bring to the market a commercial version. We couldn't cover this without mentioning this year's protagonist, the Martian drone Ingenuity. Although it's not exactly a robot, the vehicle opened a new milestone in the history of exploration of other planets, and it's definitely worth mentioning. The Mars drone has already made 4 autonomous flights in the thin atmosphere of the red planet, which is only 1% of Earth's atmosphere. It's not equipped with any scientific instruments except a laser altimeter, a gyro stabilizer, and video cameras. One camera is responsible for navigation, i.e. determining location, directions, and speed. The second camera is a 13-megapixel color camera, and it takes pictures on the surface of Mars. Helicopter communication with Earth is carried out through the rover. The mass of Ingenuity on Earth is 1.8 kilograms, and on Mars, about 0.7 kilograms. The helicopter is lifted by air by two propellers, each 1.2 meters long and weighing only 35 grams. They are made of carbon fiber and covered with solar panels for recharging the drone. A pair of parallel-mounted propellers rotates in opposite directions around the common axis at about 2,300 to 2,900 revolutions per minute. By comparison, terrestrial helicopters make about 500 revolutions per minute. Earth-based robotics have made their mark this year as well. Carbon Robotics unveiled a robot for destroying weeds with a laser. This autonomous robot uses computer vision, a powerful lighting system that allows the robot...
I want to stop that there for a second. Or not for a second. I think that was enough of that. But I thought it was interesting. I don't know if I spend that much money on getting a robot that does the dishes and sets the table. That's why I had kids. So I don't know. And the dog one, it leaves batteries all over the place. So that's not good either. If they could walk your dog and clean up after it, I would get one because my wife loves dogs and I told her I don't want to be 70-some years old cleaning up dog poop, so that's why we don't have a dog. But anyway, look at this technology. And again, I don't think on a mass scale we're going to see this transhumanism, but I think that's what we're going to see probably with this image of the beast. I think that may be the start of it. And by the time we get to the halfway mark of the tribulation period, maybe more and more people are getting this transhumanism because they can't be saved if they've taken the mark of the beast, and maybe that's part of it. I don't know. It is interesting, though. The other thing, and maybe you guys recognized, do you guys know what movie that was from? Minority Report, where Tom Cruise is working as, I think he's a police officer. They're able with these computers to predict who's going to commit a crime in the future so they could be arrested before they commit the crime. Now, I mean, that's ridiculous, right? But think about it. The Pentagon wants AI to predict events before they occur. Wow. That's Minority Report. I mean, really, what could go wrong with that? Well, watch the movie and find out. Because, yeah, a lot of things could go wrong. But this is what we're told. What if by leveraging today's artificial intelligence predict events several days in advance, countries like the United States could simply avoid warfare in the first place? The tests were designed to occur in phases, each demonstrating the current capabilities of three interlinked AI-enabled tools called Cosmos, Latus, and Gaia. Gaia provides real-time situational awareness for any geographical location, comprised from many different classified and unclassified data sources, massive volumes of satellite imagery, communication data, intelligent reports, and a variety of sensor data. Latus offers real-time threat tracking and response options. Cosmos allows for strategic and cloud-based collaboration across many different commands. Together, these decision tools are supposed to anticipate what adversaries will do ahead of time, allowing U.S. military leaders to preempt the actions of adversaries before kinetic conflict arises and deny them any perceived benefits from taking any predicted actions. That's creepy to me. That's Big Brother. I mean, think about it. For me, you know, if you know me and you're on my Facebook page, you know what I post on Facebook. I always put Bible verses on there, and now I'm putting our video studies from YouTube on there. That's pretty much what I have on there. Sometimes there's some family pictures. But they have all that data. Would I, down the road, be a threat? Very possibly. Because I am not conforming to what the government is saying. I'm believing what God says. So it is interesting, you know. I look at the science fiction movies, and I see the things that they have in them, and I look at what we have today. Remember the Dick Tracy cartoon where he would talk into his watch? Yeah, now we've come there. Look at all the technology that's out there. The book 1984, George Orwell with Big Brother. Big Brother is watching, make no mistake about it. Everything we do, they're aware of. And again, they track this stuff because they're looking for terrorists. So there's key phrases that they're looking for. You know, you use the word bomb, you know, Joe bombed last night or whatever. That's a key phrase. And so they'll check it out because you use the word bomb. There's key phrases that they look for on social media to make sure that nothing's going on that they're going to miss.
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers. Breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word.
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.